You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
You might remember yesterday we heard from Peter, who called in from Forest Hills and who was unable to see his mum, who had been in an aged care facility before she died. And he had been trying. When put to the Premier, well, he actually had an interesting bit of a whack around the back of the ears, really, for the sector. I won't quote him directly, but I don't think I'm quoting him indirectly or incorrectly when I say that he said, speaking directly to the sector, you lot are in the middle of a royal commission and you're not doing yourselves any favours by locking people out in this way. He said it's not supposed to be a lockout and there can be a carefully maintained and constructed way of allowing family members and loved ones to visit their relatives in aged care facilities. And you know, of course, that the Prime Minister has been pushing this really hard, saying, let them in, let the family members in. And some places are not doing that. Ian Yates is the Chief Executive of COTA Australia, which is Council on the Ageing. Let's get his perspective on this. Ian Yates, good to talk to you again. Good morning.
Good morning, Virginia.
And I don't know if you heard that direct observation and, frankly, a bit of a warning from the Premier this morning for the sector to watch itself because it's under the scrutiny of the Royal Commission. Do you take the point?
Oh, look, I take the point, agree with the point. It's a point that we've been making to providers as well. Some providers blaming the Prime Minister, but that's the message that National Cabinet is trying to give them.
All right, so if that's the message, which is, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but it's that, as the Prime Minister enunciated it again over the weekend, he said that a visitor or a resident in an aged care facility should be able to have up to two people per day, I think staying for a maximum of 2 hours, in some sort of contained way. Now, is that the right way to go? And if that's the case, why aren't facilities allowing that?
So I think the problem we have is that we're having that kind of guideline put out there when we have such inflexibility from many providers. Now, let me first say, fully understand providers' concern to keep residents very safe, a concern that is widespread in the community, and there is nothing better for keeping residents of aged care safe than the achievements that the community is making right now, because if COVID is not circulating in the community, it won't get into nursing homes. So that's an overriding message. And yes, there needs to be safety, but safety applied equally to anybody going into that home, whether it's a staff member, a maintenance person, a delivery person, or a visitor. Second thing to say is, regrettably, many residents in nursing homes don't get any visitors. And we've discussed this in the past. A former Minister Ken White, for example, had a very strong passion about the number of residents who weren't getting any visitors. So it's not that every visitor's got a lineup of people wanting to visit them. Yes, there needs to be reasonable access. Now, I don't think we are going to find families wanting to come and visit every day. What we have are families concerned that they have not had any contact
at all,
for weeks.
What are you hearing from the nursing homes? What are they telling you or telling others about why they can't put in place, the ones that are refusing, that have virtually a total lockout, why they can't put in place some isolated or protected or separated way in which those people who do want to visit can visit?
So some of them aren't saying anything, I have to say that. And we have quite a few cases where that's been happening. Secondly, some of them are saying that they don't have the resources. And we accept that managing COVID is requiring more resources for providers, and that some of them are stretched anyway. So some are saying they can't do that. What bemuses us is that there are providers who are quietly going about doing the right thing, who've set up appointment systems, for example, so that they can manage the flow of visitors.
Yes.
Who've set up other parallel communications, for example, making arrangements to be able to talk through windows so you can hear on both sides. and a range of other kind of measures that, and certainly ensuring that if there's any question of end of life, the family's visits are facilitated.
But doesn't the point need to be made more clearly that if that's the case, then that visit has to be allowed to happen? Not that providers are doing it, but they need to be doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And in our view, not to do that is actually a breach of the aged care standards.
Let's cut to the chase here. If you are being told by the facility that your parent is in, you can't come, and they're very unwell, they need your company at the end of life, what can you do to solve that situation quickly? Who can you call?
You should call the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission's complaints line and give them that detail, and we are hopeful that that will mean that the Commission will immediately act on that kind of urgent
Can they move quickly, that mob?
They can move quickly if they what we know that they have moved quickly on these issues, ringing providers and saying, we are taking a direct concern in this. Have you considered your obligation under the standards? That's an important role for them. They are the regulator. And if the provider is not following the standards, the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission needs to enforce them.
Do you have a number there that you can share with us for that complaints line?
I do, but let me just double check I've got the right number.
That's all right. Sorry to put you on the spot in that way.
It's 1800.
Yep.
951.
Yep.
822.
Ian Yates, thanks for joining us today. I'm going to repeat that number. If you are encountering a situation, 1-800-951-822, Ian Yates assures us that this complaints line from the Aged Care Commission, that they will and can act quickly.